and you're learning more and more about your craft, because you said you intern and you're starting to like learn from different people and develop a different style. When did you start feeling confident in your ability?
Well, that's a good question. I still don't know if I'm there.
Really? Yeah.
About 2 years ago, 3 years ago was when I think I started to know like how to put the pieces together in an efficient way that could do it. And I feel better and better about it.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do to make a record. And a lot of young guys are a little, you know, about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, making a record and understanding the gear under, I will also say this, understanding the social dynamic within the studio is a very difficult thing to wrap your head around. Right now, it's like, I can experiment, like, how do I put this? Like, you got to do something interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of ways to make a record. But you got to do something interesting. And I've gotten to the point now where I feel very confident that I can put the interesting things into a mix and balance it out. And I have the equipment and whatnot to like make that happen. You know, but like with that said, like, I mean, it's a, like my studio is about $120,000 investment, and 20 years of experience.
Right.
And I'm getting to that point where I actually feel like we can try things. I know how to make it work. Because there's so many f***ing damn variables.
Right.
Like, you know, from people to getting the idea, to getting that kind of, and I hate using this word, but like synchronicity, it's not easy. It's incredibly not easy. You know, working in the studio is one of the most exhausting and most difficult jobs you could possibly do. Like, I've had people, you know, that are making like $200,000 a year working for firms and brainstorming on tables, and they come in the studio for one day and they're completely exhausted. Like, they're like, I can't deal with the amount of information that's going on.
Right.
And so what's important is that you need to navigate these things. You need to navigate the result. You need to navigate what you think will work. You need to produce. You need to be objective. You need to listen to people. And it really depends on the band. The maturity of the band is a huge thing. And I don't even mean that as in like, in terms of their success. It's the maturity of the people, because you're always in a brain trust and you always have to listen to each other. And the better that you can listen to each other without ego is when you get great results. And that's the important thing.
I ask that question of artists when they go into a studio opposed to like recording at home, because you can, I mean, everyone has gear to an extent that they can make something sound really good on their laptop, but they don't have the benefit of having someone who's outside of a project that can hear things differently and see something differently going. And I think you're right about the ego thing. But you really kind of have to be opened up to how good something could be that you're just not hearing or seeing.
Yeah, I get hired on a lot to finish projects for people. And I find those to be very interesting, because they'll do it at home, but they just want, you know, I say this with real reservation, but like the Midas touch. Like, right. They just want somebody to go in and just like fix it. And I love those projects. Like, those are mixed projects that I absolutely f***ing adore. Number one, because I'm not invested in it to the same level. I'm not confused by it. I basically just show up for work they pay me that money, and then I just go through it and fix it.
Right.
And those are great projects for me, but like they are becoming more and more common in my world because they can't afford to be in a studio every day, but they can't afford to do things with, like you said, you know, their home gear. I really like it. I really, really like it because
right.
there's something about it. Like, I've always liked DIY. I've always like, you know, that's kind of what like the camp is, but like from that I'm from, but like, yeah, you just kind of get to roll with their ideas.
Mm-hmm. Now for you, do you have the, cause your role is, as you just said, sometimes you have to go in and fix something. Someone brings you something. But you know, with Threshold Recording Studios, as far as from what I remember, this was the last step to take your album to and then master it or like some mixing and mastering. But it wasn't a place where it was like a studio where there was like, okay, well, we're going to be in here for 2 months. Here's the mics. We're recording. It's a big space.
Yeah. No, I never wanted that.
Yeah. Cause you went through that before with the other spaces.
Yeah. I never wanted that. And that's very astute. I never wanted that. What I always wanted was I wanted the best gear in what I remember to be my mother's basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the idea of Threshold was to be a comfortable space where people can just like explore ideas. It's an open space. It's mm-hmm. not separated by glass and walls. Like I just wanted something where, because I don't believe in that idea in terms of the creative process, you know, like, you know, I've always been like one that likes like Wilco Records and shit like that. Like, it's about the creative process is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in an open space and you're in a comfortable space, which is mine, like it's probably like, I don't know, 600 square feet. Like you're all sitting there, you're listening, you're sharing, you're eating food together.
Right.
The drums are right there. Like there's no opportunity for you to get distracted. You're always on point.
Which is what some studios do. They offer, well, we're by a lake and you can go over here and we have this over here and we have, you know, all these distractions.
Yeah.
So to me, Threshold Recording Studios, from what you're saying is, the work ethic is very blue collar Hamilton, just time to go to work.
That's it. I wouldn't disagree with that in an iota. Like it's just about getting to work, hanging out. Like, yeah, we don't always like work. You know what I mean? Like the first couple hours are usually just talking and like
sure.
shooting and playing YouTube videos and figuring things out. But you know, like it's about getting together and sharing the ideas and getting on the same page and taking the pressure off and making the best record we can. Like I have all the gear. Like, so that's not a thing. I know how to use all the gear. That's not a thing. So it's really about, in my opinion, just the, like a good hang, a good conversation, lots of talking, getting on the same page and then doing it. Like I can get the results. It's just about, for me, what's important is the communication.
It's funny that you say that because, I just interviewed, Matt Paxton and he's got his new single that that's coming out. And, I believe he did it with you, right? Cause I paid him the compliment. I said, you know, you've sort of surrounded yourself with the right people to get something done, because prior to that, I was talking to Brian Cuddy and Ethan Paxton for the Delta Days. And, you know, your name just keeps coming up. And I always say, yeah, this is the right guy to work with in those respects. But you said that both the hang and the communication, that's pretty much what Matt said. He said, you know, Mike and I just sat there and ate for a couple hours at one point, you know, and then we just went in and did it. Like it was nothing. And he said, you know, now, like, I'm paraphrasing, but it was to the point where it's like, now I could just go in the room with the guy and go, yeah, okay, I'm going to record this. And he knows already what to do, because we're just, it's like, it's just like, yep, I know what to do. I know what your sound is. I know where we're going to go with this.
Well, I think that's how you serve the artist.
Right.
Like, I truly think that's how you serve the artist. Because, I mean, if you were to be, you know, too critical about it, like, you might be thinking, like, we waste time or whatever like that. But, like, at the same time, it's like, no, he's getting fucking comfortable. And we're hanging out. And, you know, it's about the ends, like, you know, like, working towards the end.
Right.
I don't want to, like stress is a big problem in a studio. And I try to, at my very best, reduce that as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want it.
You don't want it.
I don't want it.
Well, it makes sense.
They don't want it.
It hinders the creativity.
Yeah. That's how you harbor creativity. Like, the idea is that you walk in and you feel like it's home. And you do your job, and then you walk out with a result that hopefully represents what your idea was when you were in your living room or whatever. And that's what I strive for.
Hey, folks, if you're just tuning in, or if you downloaded this, or I'm doing the old radio call out here, you're listening to Steel City Music. My guest right now is Mike Keir from Threshold Recording Studios, and we're chatting about the background of the recording studios and some of its accomplishments and what he's learned and crafted over the years of working with different people. List of acts that you have been recording. Ethan. Paxton, Delta Days.
Yeah, we've done a lot of stuff recently.
Yeah. And which sounds great. And of course, we were just chatting about Matt Paxton as well. He's got his new music that's coming out. Elevator.
Yeah.
I was a little taken back about when I first heard Elevator, to be honest. I didn't see that coming from the Hamilton music scene, that era, like that that style of music, because to me they sounded, well, to be honest, they didn't sound like they're from here. Do you know what I mean? Like, we tend to the music here sometimes can either be very punky, garage rocky, or even
folk.
Yeah, and then you also have your hip hop genres and your heavy genres, and but within all of it, there's always this certain amount of this grittiness to them to it. But when I heard them, I went, "Wow, this is like polished." I was like, "This is, you know, this is really good." Like Cecilia, but even when they did a cover of, like, I was listening to a cover of Kate Bush. Running up that hill, I was like, wow.
Well, that was an important one, and there's a good story to that. I did that for free.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes. And the reason was, is my mother, who has passed, I grew up listening to Kate Bush.
Mm-hmm.
It was very important to me. And when they did the cover of it, I reached out to them, and I said, like, let's just do it. I'll do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Because that song to me was very, very important in my coming up. Like I grew up listening basically to Kate Bush and the Eurythmics.
Yeah.
In my mom's house. So doing that was like, I just threw in the towel. I was like, not throwing the towel. That's a weird metaphor. Like, I just basically said, like, I'll just do it.
Right.
If you guys want to do it, I'll just do it. Like, this is something so important to me.
There's a thing about covers that
it doesn't hurt me. Do you want to feel how it feels? Do you want to know that it doesn't hurt me? Do you want to hear about the deal that I'm making? You. It's you.
Cover off on another artist. There's a couple ways of doing it. They either do it to honor the original, or they make it so different that it is actually something. You know, like, I mean, why cover something if you're not going to put your take or your spin on it? There's a show at the Hawk. It's been on for 25,000 years. John Conway under the covers, and him and I had this discussion. If you're going to cover something, you have to do it in a way. Well, you can't half-ass it. You know, it has to be the best possible version, to the point sometimes where it's better than the original, or it's a tip of the cap to the original. And when I heard that,
tip of the cap, like, because Kate Bush is unparalleled.
Well, but what I'm saying is that, like, with that track that I heard, it wasn't like it could have went so many. They can always go so many different ways. Like, there could have been a break in it, and all of a sudden there's, like, a spoken word, you know, anger part into it or something. But to me, when I heard it, I went, oh, this is, like, this is really good. This is really solid, you know? And that's where I was kind of kicking myself, going, I missed the boat on this band. Like, wow.
They're a great band.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Nabby killed it. Like, and yeah, they did want to reinvent it a little bit. Like, they didn't use the toms as much, and like, that's Mike Boyd. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they reinvented it in certain capacities because they didn't want it to be just like a simple cover.
I really think that they did an outstanding job on it. Now, with what you did with that song and working with them on stuff, now you're presently working with another band that I had up at the radio station, Capital. And yeah. To me, Capital doesn't sound like they're from Hamilton. They sound like they're from UK.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of, like, Joy Division.
Yeah.
If I were to kind of, like, we talked about it in the studio, and we've had a great time. They are all such amazing people, and they're all really smart. And again, I'll break it down to, they're talented, but they're also, like, social dynamic is amazing. And so we were able to brainstorm a lot of stuff, and it was one of the most easygoing records I've ever made. That, like, I mean, I'm doing it right now. I'm going to be mixing it tomorrow. They kind of sit in that, like, Joy Division meets the National.
Right.
Like, they got like a baritone vocalist that's kind of, you know, like mumble singing.
Mm-hmm.
We're just doing an EP. But it's very eclectic. With that said, we're starting to figure out, like, what the sound will be. Which is going to be kind of like lo-fi, hi-fi, if that makes sense. But like, we're sounds, and we're starting to figure out how to, like, get the grit, but get the clarity. They're super talented, man. This is one of the best experiences I've ever had in the studio. They were so easygoing.
Well, I'm glad that you're having good experiences at what you're doing over at Threshold Recording. There's been too many times now in our lives that we're not having a good time. And I think you can, we both of us can agree that we'd rather be doing something we enjoy than something that we're not enjoying. Can you give me a rundown of some of the new stuff that other artists that are coming in the studio?
Yeah, well, there's Brian Cuddy, Delta Days, Crowley's, Matt Paxton. I think those are the ones that are most recent.
Yeah.
I got a couple other mixed gigs that are coming up, but like those are the ones that I think that are sort of floating in the air about to be released. Like I said, I don't have control over that sort of stuff. So like, I'm not exactly sure, but like, I'm like, those are ones that are starting to come through. And yeah, that's why, like, I don't know. That's why, like, the little studio that could, man, like, there is stuff coming out. All right, this is Michael Keir from Threshold Recording Studios. If you want to hit me up, it's Michael Keir, MichaelKeire at gmail.com, or hit me up on my phone, 905-308-6896.
But then I found out for the first time just what it felt like. When I
Hold on, you cry. Come on, choose words. Well, your great grandfather built his own sword. When the country came and knocked on your life's door, can you see the light on here? Two scores had two.
folks, my next guest is Helen Graham. I've seen her wander around some of the clubs when I could go to clubs, when I wasn't isolated out in the Stony Creek area. I first met her years ago. We had this indie music conference down at the Casbah in the lounge. And that seems like another lifetime ago, because so much has changed. Back then, the discussion was, how do you keep a music scene vibrant with all styles of music and genres? Yeah. And then now with COVID, how do you keep a music scene? Welcome to the show, Helen Graham.
Thank you. I remember that day, and I remember, going to so many events, and not just music events, but I really miss the Art Bar. I mean, that was an eclectic dish of music and plays and stories and international artists. It was amazing. And the thing about Hamilton is what you can see for $10 or for free at the time. So I think that was a bad habit that we got ourselves into, so that a lot of bars are trying to say, yes, $5 to come in, and we're still complaining about it. Who would think, right?
Right. That happens. But you started, I think, back in, was it 2018 or before that? An events calendar called the Helen Graham Presents. It's your events calendar, but it's not just music, but I believe there was all types of music and arts that you were putting in it, and you're still doing it now. So now that we're at this point in the pandemic, it's still happening, of course. Where are you at with the events calendar now? Are you still putting up as much content, or are you being selective about the content, and how are people submitting it to you?
Yes. Well, obviously, because two or three major scenes have closed down. This Ain't Hollywood, and the Art Barn, and the Corktown has taken a break, hiatus, for quite a while, and that was a phenomenal place to go. I mean, everything from Kitchen Party and Friday nights, very heavy promoter of local bands, etc. I mean, it had an ambience and a vibe there that couldn't be compared anywhere else. And then Hess Street, of course. So what I would do is I would go out and I would start doing live videos. And I tell the musicians, you can use the pictures, you can use the live videos for your promotional material, because a lot of them are terrible at promoting. And if you don't promote, you don't sell. I mean, you have to be a salesman of your music, just like most artists have to. So I did a lot of this, and I got to meet a lot of people. So when the pandemic hit, I thought, either I'm going to have to jump off the Hamilton Mountain, I can't guarantee a deadfall, or I'm going to have to do something. And I remember the minister at the Laidlaw Church, I'd been there for their jazz afternoons. And I thought, this guy's really, he loves music. And for a church, and the acoustics there are phenomenal. So I approached him and I said, listen, is there anything you need fundraising for? And he said, yes, an assisted entrance way. And I said, I can run concerts here and use them to promote as a fundraiser. And so I started doing that. I think the first time that we could go inside, I've run 13 concerts, so that would probably be May or June.
May or June, right. And what style of music are you promoting in the church?
I want a variety, because it's gone beyond the fundraising. The assisted entrance is going to cost over $600,000.
Right.
What Reverend Doug wants to do is promote Laidlaw as a community church-based center. And so even during the sermons on Sunday, he always has a local musician. So he'll have Big Root Jake there. He'll have Nicole Christian on keyboard, Alfie Smith, and he'll do his little sermon, but there'll be music, because he says music, people can listen endlessly. They know why they're there, but the music seems to tie it all in. And, I mean, that's why Baptists and all the rest of them, I mean, the joy of music connects everybody. It makes you forget about the day-to-day things.
Sure.
So, so in the beginning, it was basically, okay, who's willing to do this? And when I posted something, of course, I got flack, because how can you dare ask a musician, who's starving at this point in time, to do something for free? And I'm sure it's a good church fundraiser, yada, yada, yada. You wouldn't ask a plumber. So we won't go down that road. I just said, thank you. And but there were plenty who were willing to say, yes, I'd love to. The acoustics there are fantastic. And because we don't have an audience, I can have a full band there. I can have bagpipes there. So, so initially it started off with blues and rock, some professional musicians, and let's see, I'll call them hobby bands. And so now I want to broaden it, and I want to bring in some rap artists, because the rap scene in Hamilton is phenomenal. And also the verbal rap. There's a whole Hamilton Youth Poetry Society. If you've never been to any of them, they're phenomenal.
You're referring to the Hamilton Youth Poets.
Yes.
Yeah, I've had them up on the show back when we could do a live show at the radio station. And as a result, they end up having their own time slot on Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, they're great.
But I can actually, so they could do a live video of it. Now, mind you, again, I couldn't have, you know, the competition that they would normally have. Like, they'd have 50 or 60, and then they would go up there, and then they would sort of compete, you know, and then be voted on how well they've done and everything else. But I could still have 6 or 7 or 8 of them, and then they could sit down in the X spots in the church. So it wouldn't be a slam fest, but it would be an indication that people could see, because the only time you could see them live is if you actually went to their slam poetry session. Mm-hmm. And I think for the one time or twice that I went there, it was basically the slam artist. The only time they did something public, I think, was at the Cotton Factory last year.
Right.
And people were amazed. They're going, what the heck is this? Like, you know, they didn't know quite how to take it, right? So slam artists, rap artists, opera, anything. I want to even have a couple of, like, a dance thing. And now, again, it's all limited. It's all COVID friendly. So, in other words, the only people, the minister's up in the choir. I'm down below doing a video, and I've got what I call a clapper. And he's a friend who sits at the back and claps enthusiastically. So it's a mini audience.
So you have a hype man.
Well, you need that. Especially entertainers, going online, they're kind of looking into this little lens and they're going, is there anybody out there?
Right. No, and I think in general we should all have hype people. I would like to have one right now, to be honest, just to cheer me on as I'm going through my day, to be brutally honest.
Well, yeah, because you're kind of sitting there and you feel like you're all alone. And believe me, I watch a lot of online shows.
Yeah.
And take it for what it is, but the best ones, when I catch the You Can't Stop the Blues,
right,
and when it comes on late in the evening, and you've got full bands and musicians. Now, some of them are wearing masks, some of them are in separate rooms, but man, the talent and the music, because they're just getting off on each other.
Yeah.
And you don't see that in the live shows that are happening now, because they're sending in their videos. They may have the dog walk in or something.
That happens quite a bit.
They need the clapper.
Hey, and how do people find out more about your events calendar? Where do they go to?
Well, they befriend me on Helen Graham, or they can go directly to Helen Graham's calendar of events. And I post whatever's happening. I'll say today, tomorrow, or coming soon, or watch starting now.
And all of this is on Facebook, correct?
Yeah. Thank you very much for the interview. It's Helen Graham. And if you want to find out more about the weekly Laylaw performances, and also, I also do a Wednesday sing-along, and there's myself and two, I call them amigos, and it is strictly for fun, and if you want to chuckle, then that's Wednesday night, and we go live 7:30 to 8:30, and it can be viewed at any time, at any point in time if you miss it that evening.
This next song is Graceland, played on a Goodman Midnight Special. And I modified it slightly because it has a tailpiece and 12 strings, and I'm a fairly heavy player. So I slipped in a playing card and a piece of foam to prevent the vibrations from the tailpiece to the bridge.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Welcome back to another edition of 3 for 30 here on Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunnar Smith. We do this once in a while. It's about three songs that have three separate memories from three genres, and they're your memories and your songs. My special guest this evening, if this is being aired in the afternoon, it would be in the afternoon or whenever you wanted to hear it. So how about just my special guest right now, Frank Mundano. Frank is a school teacher in the Toronto District Board.
The Dufferin-Peel Board.
The Dufferin-Peel Board, and is also a musician as well. Frank, thank you for taking the time to do this with us today.
Oh, no problem. This is great.
Okay, so three songs. You know the rules of engagement on this. Three songs, three memories, your songs. We have Just Breathe from Pearl Jam. We have B.B. King, Sweet Little Smile, or Sweet Little Angel.
Yeah.
Now, what version is this?
The live version.
The live version at the Regal?
The Regal,
that's
yeah.
right. And also These Days from the Foo Fighters. Which song would you like to start with, sir?
Let's start with Just Breathe.
Just Breathe, Pearl Jam. So what's the significance of Just Breathe then?
It really hit home with me when I had to go through, you know, taking care of my mom. She had brain cancer for 6 years and then passed away. It's been 3 years now. And it was something that a friend of mine would always tell me to do. Like, you know, I'd be complaining or calling him from the hospital and say, you know, I can't believe this, can't believe that. And he would just text me, you know, the words, Just Breathe. And then, sure enough, there's the Pearl Jam song, Just Breathe. And I made that connection. You know, it's something that, like, I think I take it literally, you know, just breathing, like, you know, just taking that breath in and out two or three times grounds you. It makes you feel better.
With that song, though, when you hear it, does that bring you like a comfort, sense of comfort when you hear it?
Yes. Surprisingly, like, even though I associated with my mom's illness, it somehow would calm me down. Listening right. to it, just thinking of the song itself, you know, because, yeah, life is stressful. We all need to take a break once in a while. And and then only then can you make a logical decision to move on and, you know, whatever needs to be done instead of reacting, you know, solely with emotions.
Right.
And then realize, you know, okay, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that.
But with this song, this sounds like some good advice from a friend.
Yes, yeah. It's again, still to this day, it's so simple, just those two words, and you think logically, like, yeah, of course, I breathe all the time, or I you know, I remember, just, you know, take a step back from it, but when you're caught up, it's not as easy as you think. And if you can physically say to yourself, you know, just breathe, and you know,
Frank, is there any specific part of that song that that you find
yes.
comforting?
When Eddie Vedder sings, "Yeah, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Some folks just have one, yeah, others they got none." And you know, I'm truly blessed to have a beautiful, caring wife, two beautiful children to call my own. And, you know, I remember spending all those days in hospitals because of my mom. And, you know, you would see, like, you know, other patients in the same room or across the hall, and they have nobody, no family to come and visit, no friend or anybody that can even just, you know, even sometimes speak for them. And I honestly, like, I don't know how people can do it. Like, you know, sometimes it's, I guess it's a choice for some people. For some others, I think it's just, you know, they're just born unlucky. You know, so I do count my blessings, and, you know, I'm grateful for that.
Well, you know what? Why don't we just spin the song right now?
Sure.
Here's Just Breathe from Pearl Jam on the 3 for 30.
Yes, I understand that every life must end. Uh-huh. As we sit alone, I know someday we must go. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Some folks just have one, yeah, others they got none. Huh, huh.
my sins, never gonna let me win. Under everything, just another human being. Yeah, I don't wanna hurt. There's so much in this world to make me
second song is a Sweet Little Angel, B.B. King, live from the Regal.
Yes.
Which, there are different versions of this. I'm so glad you said live from the Regal,